Live over the internet through BBS Radio. Good evening, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is for you. Today it is Monday, July the 16th, 2018. Another show with Winfrey on the Monday evening. The Winfrey Hour. I do not know yet what the topic is tonight. We will find out. And this is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. When people call in, you will hear a ding. And I will greet those folks. I am looking for a song over here that I will play in the meantime. A song from Dave Loggins. And we will wait for people to join in and for Winfrey and Teddy Brown to be here shortly. All right. I hope you will enjoy tonight's hour. My name is Gijs Minderhout and I'm located in the town of Paradise in California. Thank you for being here. Good evening, welcome to the call.
Hi, Gijs, it's Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Hi, Jeannie, welcome.
Thank you.
Hi there, it's Uma from Sedona.
Uma?
Hi, Uma.
Good evening, Uma, welcome. And somebody else joined in, welcome to you. And in my location.
Hello, hi, this is Prudy. Hi, everyone.
Hello, Prudy.
Hi.
Positive greetings from rainy Arizona.
Rainy Arizona, Raiden in the rainy country. Welcome.
Yes.
And welcome all those people that are listening in on the BBS Radio online. Thank you for being here. We await our host and co-host, Winfrey and Terry Brown. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Dr. Art Franklin, Hampton, Virginia.
Welcome, Dr. Art.
Hey there.
And we had another person joining. Welcome to you. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin, Texas.
Welcome to the call, Roger.
Thank you, Heis.
Hello. Hello,
Roger.
Hello.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say a name or location.
All right, Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Heis, everybody.
Good evening, Don. Welcome.
Thanks.
Hi, Don.
All right.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say a name or location.
Hey, this is Bonnie in California.
Hello, Bonnie. Good evening and welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, guys.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. But only if you want to, we welcome you. Welcome to those people that are listening in through BBS Radio. Thank you for being here. We're waiting for Wynn and Terry to show up over here on the conference call. I'll mute this phone line. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Hi, this is Terry from Dallas.
Welcome to the call, Terry.
Thank you.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
This might be Vin calling me, ain't I? That was Vin calling me. Hi, do we have a call tonight? I got the feeling he just woke up. Vin is doing, making more hours than he should. And especially over the weekends, he's double tasking with the conference calls. if you feel like you might want to send him an email and thank him for what he's doing, and also tell him to take good care of himself.
Maybe we can help him out with that, where talk him out of his interaction on certain nights and maybe doing replays or...
Yeah, that is what he is doing. We probably will have a replay tonight. But he is who he is, you know what I mean?
Yes.
You cannot tell him what to do.
No.
In a gentle way, you can give suggestions. You know, it's just amazing the project that we are all involved with, and especially also the whole Planet Healing. It's a blessing to me to have this group of people, you know, being, you know, I would say on the same page and recognizing where we are at in the time of being. Good evening. Hello. Welcome to the call. Their name and location.
It is Wynn in Sedona.
Welcome, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi. Do I see Terry here?
Terry, there is a Terry, but not the Terry.
Okay. Well, I'm ready to get started. And I'm going to have, I think, hang on, we'll just start.
This conference is being recorded.
This is July 16th, 2018. Wynn in Sedona. And who just came on the call?
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hi,
Jane. Welcome,
Jane.
Hi. I'm late.
And who else? Oh, well.
Terry in Sedona.
We were just talking about you.
Hi, Terry.
This is Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
I'm going to unmute everybody in just a moment. I just wanted to say I was kind of blown away on Sunday when everybody was commenting how call was impacting them. And that people were getting it. And I don't know. Hang on a second.
All callers are unmuted.
From my perspective, it's a miracle that we're doing this. I mean, it is extraordinary. And it's like, it seems so little that one can take it for granted, but that we have developed a rapport with these group souls, and they keep telling us how they operate and what they do, how they work with earthquakes, how they work with hurricanes, how they work with healings. And they're giving us the information, and we are applying it, and we are shifting ourselves. And I am, like, constantly thinking that this is what people are looking for. On some level, people are looking to shift themselves, and they want to feel better. They want to feel balanced. And, you know, the challenge is that we have actually scratched the surface, I would say, of accomplishing this. And one of the things I have learned is that when you reach what looks like a plateau, it's not really a plateau. It's a plateau in terms of the path. But it's the bottom of the mountain in terms of the future. Does that make sense?
Yeah, ever upward. Yeah.
So what does the new mountain look like that we're supposed to climb?
Maybe it's ever-changing.
You know, I would say it's misty. It's hard to see the mountain. You know, you have to get to the...
Well, we have developed something. It's been actually years, I would say years, in the creation. And, you know, a lot of times it appears like Terry and I are magic, okay? Did anyone ever have that idea? No. That's good. We never look like magic, right? And I think, the new plateau is how to transfer this to new people. We do have new people coming in bit by bit. But what is the method to transfer it?
I have an idea.
What's that?
It's Terry from Dallas, and I'm on message boards a lot, Great Awakening, the Reddit, and when you get on groups that you have something in common with that would be like your audience, you can make comments on things and then just kind of drop that. In fact, I did once already. It was me watching the Peter Strzok investigation, the hearing that was like 8 hours, and then I felt dirty afterwards. I felt polluted from all the emotion and the fighting and all this going on in Congress. And I put a message that kind of emoted some of that, and then I had to go back later after the call because the call kind of cleaned me up, helped me with my energy get back balanced. And so I just mentioned that I have a whole planning healing call I attend that had to kind of help with the energy. And there's a lot of people that look at these. So basically what I'm saying is maybe internet chat groups would be a good way.
Yeah. You know, the audio of yesterday's testimonials, you know, I listened to it again today, and I started editing it because I was going to separate it out and put it up so it could be shared. And it's so hard to try to put it in words because people so quickly think it's some kind of belief pattern or new way of believing in things, and that you've adopted a new way of believing things, which that is the cause of the shift. One thing is I could do a call especially for new people, okay? And it would all be directed towards trying to talk to them and explain to them what's going on in a way that doesn't sound like you're trying to teach them something or make them believe something. And you know, people could, either I could play the tape or people could share live how it worked for them. You know, the way we did it yesterday was so spontaneous, and everyone was totally natural, that we have learned to be comfortable enough with each other so that we don't have to feel self-conscious when we're talking. And when there's a bunch of strangers, new people, I think there's a tendency to be self-conscious, because you know there's people that may judge you, and it makes you want to look good. Now, I think I am able to transcend that at this point, after all of this talking about this stuff. And I'm able to be transparent. And if you can just get people to hear me talking to them instead of to you, that I might be able to break through. And they would get it. Because it's a big thing to get, and it's very hard to explain it to someone, especially since a lot of when I'm talking about it, even on Whole Planet Healing, when I do the intros and I try to say something that helps anyone that's new understand it, it's like I'm kind of, I can speak from my direct experience of all these things that happened to me. And when I do, and I tell stories or whatever, it doesn't sound like I have an agenda. But you guys are having an experience, and from your experience, it seems to me you have been diligent, how shall we say, I don't know if students is the right word, but I use the word students because you're learning things that you never knew. Just as I was learning things that I never knew. For example, if someone tells you, well, there's these two group souls that have been playing the part of God or doing things and being interpreted as God throughout history, and you say that to someone, there's a good chance they're going to shut down right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You follow? In other words, to say, well, I mean, how about God? And suddenly you have, they're feeling separated instead of included. And if I tell the story of how I learned about them, how they proved themselves to me, it might make somebody more open to the whole thing. And, you know, the idea that the idea of God, you know, that's like in the collective. Everybody has the idea of God. And that there's somebody listening to your prayers, and if you pray, you know, things might happen. And the thing about it is, that can work. So I don't want to take that away from somebody. It's just like the idea that God is a team is not in the collective belief pattern, okay? But it makes more sense than God being one individual consciousness that we are all in the product of. I mean, as if God was designing everything right across the way. But, you know, it is a paradox because, in a sense, since everything is part of God or all that is, then everything that played a part in creation is, it's not God, but an aspect of God. Even when they are somewhat compromised in their polarity, in other words, even service to self. And does anyone have any experience of talking about this and trying to explain it and having someone have a positive response?
It's kind of hard to find people. It feels like such a minority still that would resonate. It's, and, you know, just everyday people I've come in contact with.
Is Raiden here? No. Raiden just...
He did come on.
He did? Raiden,
yeah.
Are you there?
He might be muted. He was on earlier.
I just unmuted, Wynn.
Oh, there you are.
Hi.
Well, you know, Raiden is a different kind of person.
I'm an extreme wanderer.
To say the least, he's a different kind of person. And, you know, someone I know was telling me they were brought up in a very unique religious group, which I don't even know if it had a name. Terry?
Which Terry?
Terry Brown. Calling Terry Brown. Hello, Terry. Okay. But when somebody became a priest in this group, they didn't actually, I don't know if they had a church or people came to the church, but what they did was they didn't live anywhere. They would travel around to be with their flock, and different people would put them up, and then they go to the next person and the next person. So everyone had like a personal connection with them. It was never like somebody standing in the front of a stage. And, you know, I really related to that because in my own way, it's what I did when I was traveling around the country playing music and having constant synchronicities. And Raiden is a bit that way, even though he actually lives somewhere, and he's not officially doing a ministry of sorts. He is always traveling around and hanging out with people, and people like his energy. He's got a really good energy, and I know I brought him up because a few days ago, he had introduced this woman, Uma, to our calls. Uma, are you on the line?
Yes, I win.
Yeah. Do you mind me talking about you?
Not at all.
Okay. That's good.
I'm weird, too. I don't care.
Since I already put my foot in my mouth.
No problem.
And Uma you spent 20 years living on a religious retreat or a commune, correct?
Yes.
And how did that work? I mean, you know, there is a great potential for people living together who are on the same spiritual path. But it's a potential that oftentimes when people get near to each other on a daily basis, they lose it. They lose the essence of spirit. But that's not the case all the time. What was your experience?
Well, my experience was we had a spiritual leader, and we each lived in separate houses. A lot of us lived together in the houses. There's probably like 35 of us in one town. But we would all go see her for spiritual, you know, psychotherapy. And she would tell us that, you know, I'm the only way that you can make your spiritual ascension this life. And, you know, in my astrological chart, it says this is my last lifetime. So I kept staying there thinking that that's the only way. But meanwhile, I'd go in and then John would go in after me and talk to her. And then she would tell John everything going on in my life. Like it was so incestuous that everybody knew everything about everybody. And, you know, I don't feel like it's right that a spiritual leader should yell at you or feel like I can't even go out of town to go to a business meeting without telling her everything. I mean, that's too much, you know?
What gave her the wherewithal?
Well, she
to declare that she was what she was.
Well, I mean, you know, Jesus talked to her, the ascended masters talked to her. It was the I am presence path, and she was very high. I mean, you walk in the room and you could feel a very high vibration. And so we all, you know, and she was supposedly this famous person and that famous person, and two of them I wrote books, book reports about when I was a kid, like, oh, well, when I was Cleopatra's friend, la, la, la. Well, now, why did I write that? Maybe she was Cleopatra. I mean, I don't know. But, you know, she definitely is a very high vibration being. And I think she does talk to these, you know, the ascended masters. But, you know, she also had issues that I think messed her up some, you know, like you don't yell at your students. I don't know. That's just me. So we all, you know, we believed her. And then she would tell us who we were in those lifetimes with her. And we, you know, I still kind of believe some of it. I don't know what I believe and what I don't believe anymore, though, you know.
Well, you know, it's interesting because of, you know, our study on reincarnation and all the things that happened to me, I discovered some past lives of mine where I was well known, okay? Now, I do mention it sometimes, but I don't like to dwell on it because the past is the past is the past. Even if you did things, I'm in this life, and I have the ingredients of this life, which is a unique mix. But sometimes you meet people who you had good rapport with in other lifetimes that become very good allies. And sometimes they become very bad allies, which was a repeat of the past life.
Yeah.
And I've had both of those. Like, Terry seems to think that she and I knew each other and at the Library of Alexandria. You know the Library of Alexandria?
Yeah, yep.
And she was a librarian, okay? And I know that I was in the Library of Alexandria at one point, but I didn't know Terry when that was revealed to me. But it very well could be true. And, you know, but so what? The job is, how do we use our connection in this light? At least the way I look at it. Everyone may not look at this way, but I look at it this way, and that is, this world is in desperate need of positive catalysts.
Yes.
Can everyone agree on that?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And we are a potential positive catalyst, okay? So things don't happen just by accident, at least not for me.
Yeah.
You know, some people think things are meant to happen and then they happen. But for me, nothing happens unless I see a potential for something, and then I have to build the groundwork to move towards that potential, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, what I'm seeing is I'm seeing new potentials now that maybe weren't present 5 years ago. I mean, you know, I've been doing this, and I've watched how people come and go, and I've watched how people think, I'm going to become famous. And they hang around. And if I'm not becoming famous fast enough, they start losing interest. And how people, I'm watching, you know, different things that have happened along this whole journey. People would come together and then they'd find everything wrong with me and start criticizing me all the time. And you know what? There was an aspect of truth in what they were finding wrong with me. And you know, there's an aspect of truth in, you could say, I shouldn't even use the word wrong, okay? It would be like our lower aspects of ourselves, which are always there. And even if you're not acting them out, people that are close to you will usually see them. And the best approach to it is to notice those things in other people and then quickly move on. If you start noticing it and critiquing them and say they have to change, they will resist and fight you tooth and nail. Just they don't know how to change. You guys don't know how to change. If I tell you, Uma, you're this, and you've got to change that. Most people, they can change the outward expression of things. In other words, if you get really angry, you can bite your tongue and not inflict your anger on other people. But how do you stop from inflicting your anger on yourself or experiencing it? And one of the things that I have learned, I've learned it from watching all of this, is when you move your energies above the anger, it starts to fade away. It's not so much in your face, or jealousy, or all the lower human aspects. And when you judge yourself, you start to feel that there's something wrong with you. You're not good enough. You're never going to be spiritual because you're angry, or you're jealous, or you're covetous, or all the things that are in the Ten Commandments that are giving the dictates to being spiritual. Now, it's very interesting because in the days of the Ten Commandments, and of course, there's absolutely no indication that the Ten Commandments came from God. And in fact, if you look at the raw material, what do they say? You know, the raw material had, I'm going to look up lawofone.info, because this is very, very interesting. Lawofone.info. And if you guys never use that, it's very good. And now, again, just because it's the raw material doesn't mean you should believe everything. But here's what the raw material said about the Ten Commandments, which is probably one of the most referred to codes of conduct on the planet. So the question was, can you tell me the origin of the Ten Commandments? Ra, the origin of these commandments follows the law of negative entities, impressing information upon positively oriented mind-body-spirit complexes. The information attempted to copy or ape positively while retaining negative characteristics. Question. Use as an example. Oh, this is okay. Was the recipient of the laws of the Ten Commandments positively or negatively oriented? The recipient was one of extreme positivity, thus accounting for some of the pseudo-positive characteristics of the information received. As with contacts, which are not successful, this entity, this vibratory complex, Moisha, did not remain a credible influence among those who had first heard the philosophy of one, and this entity was removed from this third density vibratory level in a lessened or saddened state, having lost what you may call the honor and faith with which he had become, which he had begun, the conceptualization of the law of one and the praying of those who were of his tribes, as they were called in that time space. Is that interesting?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, theoretically, the Ten Commandments would have come from Yahweh, okay? And let me look up Yahweh. This is some very interesting things about Yahweh in here. All right, hang on. Yahweh. There we go. Was Yahweh then of the Confederation? Now, the Confederation is generally considered positive. It's considered the positive planetary populations that were trying to uplift the universe, okay? Ra answers, Yahweh was of the Confederation, but was mistaken in its attempts to aid. Question. Then Yahweh's communications did not help Now, all the lines are open. If you make noise, we're going to hear it. Hang on a second. Who's making that noise?
Prudence, that could have been me. Line? Sorry.
That was you. That was you. I see you. Okay. The Yahweh's communication did not help or did not create what Yahweh wished for them to create. Is this correct? Ra, the results of this interaction were quite mixed. Where the entities were of a vibrational sum characteristic which embraced oneness, the manipulations of Yahweh were very useful. Wherein the entities of free will had chosen a less positively oriented configuration of some total vibratory complex, those of the aligned group were able for the first time to make serious inroads upon the consciousness of the planetary complex. Now, if you guys don't know it, the Orion group is a service-to-self group of beings who are based on conquest. And they have conquered and taken over many, many planets. And part of what's going on our planet, if you go back far enough, you would find that the Orion group was playing a lot of the upper level cards all the time through history. Now, I think the reptilians may also be the same as the Orion group, but they certainly linked. Question: when did Yahweh act to perform the genetic changes that Yahweh performed? Ra, the Yahweh group worked with those of the planet you call Mars 75,000 years ago in what you would call the cloning process. There are differences, but they lie in the future of your time-space continuum, and we cannot break the free will law of confusion. The 2600, approximately time, 2600 was the second time, we correct ourselves, 3600, the time of attempts by those of the Orion group during this cultural complex, there was a series of encounters in which the ones called Anak were impregnated with new genetic coding by your physical complex means so that organisms would be larger and stronger. Okay? Now, we have talked about this before, but if some of you don't get the whole picture of it, there has been this process, this evolutionary process, that's been going on in the universe for hundreds of thousands of years. And races come and races go. And there's a lot of manipulation. And one of the things the service to self beings do is that they gain influence in a particular culture by making people believe they're gods. Because oftentimes, they are very technologically advanced, for the indigenous population. Oftentimes, they do genetic manipulations to attempt to create a population that will be more easily controlled. One of the things that came up in a session between Terry and myself was we were talking about the Anunnaki. And the Anunnaki was one of these groups that was somewhat mixed that played a huge part in the beginning of humans and the evolution of humans. Do all of you know who the Anunnaki are?
I do.
Yeah.
Anyone doesn't know about the Anunnaki? Who are the Anunnaki?
The fallen angels.
Don't quote the Bible. That just turns it into into religion. Without calling them the fallen angels, who are the Anunnaki?
I think they were from Nibiru, or their offspring of Nibiru and Earth women. Just an ET race, basically, that supposedly came here and for gold mining and other purposes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, they had a technology way more advanced than us, so we decided that they were gods.
Well,
it's
more than that. They not only had a technology way more than us, they genetically engineered us.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
I mean, now, according to the general information that I understand, the Anunnaki have been coming to our planet for a very long time. And oftentimes, you know, genetically engineering slaves was part of their MO when they would come here. And in various times, the genetically engineered beings from the Anunnaki would end up all dying, and then it would start over again. In the most recent episode with the Anunnaki, and I'm not sure how many tens of thousands of years ago this was, but it wasn't that long ago in terms of tens of thousands of years, because they started creating a population. They called them Lulus. How many of you know that? The Anunnaki called their genetically engineered humans Lulus, okay?
Yeah.
And they were breeding the Lulus in the women of the time. And the women were getting tired of being baby factories. So, you know, there's a famous story of Enki and Enlil, the two Anunnaki brothers, that Enki wanted to allow the hybrids to breed, and Enlil didn't. And Enki kind of won. And now the Lulus were proliferating like crazy. And then, of course, the Anunnaki and the hybrids built a city, or the hybrids built a city under the direction of the Anunnaki. And they were bringing lots of culture and poetry. There was an aspect of it where especially under the Enki part of the Anunnaki, they were attempting to evolve hybrids. And the Enlil part of the Anunnaki wanted to kill the hybrids, okay? And the history of the Old Testament seems to be the history of the Anunnaki and all of the hybrids that they had created. And the gods of... Now, I've done a lot of research on this. I'm not filling in all the blanks. If you ever want to read about it, if it sounds interesting to you, and it is very interesting because it's like we are the product of all of that. The world we're living in is in the product of that. And
in 1 minute.
We're 1 minute to seven?
1 minute to go off the air.
Oh, my God. I haven't even begun to start. Well,
it's been good.
In any case, we are dealing with the same problem Moses dealt with. You realize that? How do you take this to the people and change the flow of evolution? That is the challenge, okay? We have learned how to bring in the energies of the higher realms. Or shall we say we're learning? We've come a major step in learning. And what Moses did, like assuming Moses had some taste of that, is, you know, he came down with the Ten Commandments, was given to him by Yahweh, and somewhere in the Yah material, one of the reasons the Ra group was down on Ten Commandments. Now, close on this. This is kind of a profound thing, because the Ten Commandments tells people what they shouldn't do. It tells them, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt do this, thou shalt not that. The problem is, it's like telling people what they shall not do doesn't change their elevation in, how should we say it, their elevation in expanding their consciousness. It gives them a bunch of rules to feel guilty about. If you notice, what we're doing here is very rarely do any of our sources ever tell you, thou shalt not. But you get the taste of the experience of the higher realms. And there's an automatic self-adjustment that occurs as you do that. And you naturally don't do things that hurt other people because you've learned enough about the law of one to realize you're hurting yourself, that everyone's an aspect of you. And by making rules and saying, thou shalt not, it doesn't get to the core of the problem, helping people to have the realization that they're part of each other. And on that note, let's go over to Whole Planet Healing and meet with Jim McCarty, who was responsible for partially responsible for all this raw material. Anyone want to say anything before we leave?
I think that was very well put, what you just summed up.
Well put?
What came to me was, bring Abel back to the table.
Okay. Well, we continue a little conversation over on Whole Planet Healing. But, see, this is the understanding of how the challenge of evolving this realm, okay? So, in any case, Terry's been very quiet. We'll just see you all in a moment. Okay, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Wynn.
Thank you.
Adios, amigo.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Much love to you all.